Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that we have and certainly for our relationship with you. We give you praise and worship, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember talking to my mother about Jesus Christ. It was not unusual for us to talk, not a lot, but a bit about Christianity or religion or political things, all in a thoughtful way. And on that particular day, I was going through a time of not getting along with my wife. And do you know how parents can see things about their children? Well, she asked me, "What did Jesus say about the two great commandments?" And I replied, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," she said, "and who is your nearest neighbor?" As I was thinking about who lived closest to my house, she spoke up and said, "Your wife!" And I pondered and I thought, what am I going to say about this? There was nothing to say. She was right. Oh, I had better reorder my thoughts and my actions, I thought to myself, and think about love and reconciliation for any problems there were. Oh, she got my thinking going on that one. And I know that each one of us can recognize the same idea or commandment and how it applies in our life. Right now, today. Yes, love. The philosophers have pondered this question a lot. It is a worthy question. And I'm not going to talk about the different kinds of love, of how the Greek language defines each different type of love. No, for today, it's enough for each one of us to look at the practical application of what is love. And I say it is being concerned that a person who you love has the best outcome in a material worldly way and, of course, in a spiritual way. And so this means you look at these different reasons for a relation and that what you are giving, all within reason, is not doing that person harm. So it can mean that you are teaching limits, you are teaching reality, the real conditions and consequences of life. That's a part of love, too. And we each are multifaceted people, and we are loving other multifaceted people. And that means there is a lot of variety in what we apply to each specific situation. And I think having a genuine heart of love is the most important factor. And that's pretty personal as to how we do it. So, your ways of showing love will be different for your close family than it would be for people who you're not especially fond of. And in a similar way, we might withhold dessert from a child to teach them a lesson, or in a sense of a nation, one nation might withhold something from another nation, maybe a most favored nation status, trade status, or there's just all sorts of things. It's a relationship. It's a rapport. All these things. We have a respect, a human respect for other, and this is right and proper. Yeah, for family members and for nations. All of these things we give due consideration with. And we also recognize that each human has a very complex mind. And don't you know that our Father, our God, put it into us? He gave us this mind, and so that we can be grateful to have some of, a little bit of what he has, this great understanding and complexity. And from here, we could jump into the mind of God, or the mind of man, or even the mind of angels, just for fun thought. But what if something was alive, but it didn't think? You know, like a tree, or like the earth. God puts life into these also, but they don't have self-direction like we have. Well, that's about enough for this kind of free thought for today, so let's talk about love a little more. These days we have that commandment to love, and we have things going on in our country and between nations, and the events of these days, or these years, they just might bring us into a war situation. And war is ugly. War is force. If you think about war, you think about destruction, and therefore you think about death. Death of people, death of dreams, and perhaps even people in your own family would die. And war is very expensive. It impoverishes a lot of people in a lot of nations. Wars are expensive in many senses of the word, the expense part of it. But for the money part, the nations get their money from someplace. And who pays for it? It's always the citizens that pay for it. You know, can we afford a war? I don't know. They're pretty expensive. Often enough, the nations, they raise their money from international money lenders or international bankers. And that includes corporations. But that money must always be paid back. And it always has been, just about always. Very seldom is it not paid back one way or another, even from a side that supposedly loses the war. Well, so I recognize that there are really terrible, horrible things that happen in a war. And yet I recognize that sometimes it still is necessary. And I think while we're on the subject of wars, let's look at the last 100 or just over 100 years of war that the United States has had. And you can see that the origin of every single war had within its basis something that was untrue, something that was a great misrepresentation of the information, and you can pretty much say that it was all done knowingly. There was a plan. The information was manipulated so the people would agree to the war. Now, you know, I just said war can be the right thing to do, and I just don't want to get manipulated into a war. So we started talking about love, and now we're talking about war. Is there a connection? Well, I think that there can be, and that is we must be thinking about people, because people are the root of what our concern is here. It's the Christianity that we want to be involved with. We want to put Christ first, and that means looking at what He wants. And He wants us to love our fellow man. And He also wants us to not be deceived. Don't be led astray. Don't be led like sheep to the slaughter. Don't be led like sheep to the slaughter. Don't be led astray. You have to look carefully at things and do not be deceived. Yeah, it makes me think of Micah 6. So, what doth the Lord Yahweh require of you? That you do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So, that brings me to today's circumstances. We always have to figure out, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in life today? What are we going to do with the situation or the people right in front of us? And for that, I like to think of the example of Jesus, who healed those certain blind men. And each of those blind men was healed by a different method. it's not that there's one way. There's different ways. And I take this to mean that each circumstance will be different. And so each circumstance will require a different solution. That's just a way we can deal with things. So to extend this idea, we all are each free men. And as free men, we are accountable for our every thought and our every word and our every deed or action. Yeah, everything we do, we are accountable for. So, of course, I cannot answer questions to know what we ought to do or what we ought to say, except by a biblical example. But I can urge caution, and you will want to look at all these, any of the situations in front of you, with understanding and depth of thought, because we will be accountable for everything that we interact with. Every thought, every word, every action. And like it has been said before, we want to be right with God. And this is often said when there's a thought of death. Get right with God. Many of us know that death is not always far away. Often enough, death is relatively near. And it comes with a surprise for some. So it comes to each of us, and after death, then comes the judgment. And I acknowledge that the unknown is pretty scary. And that's what death is, that death is the unknown. And you have to really study the Bible to see and understand and have the faith of what is coming next. You can look, you can study, you can learn, and you can see the evidence of the truth of the Bible. And then you will realize there's no longer any reason to be scared, not of death and not of anything. The Bible can take fear away. And so can people's testimony, because we can learn from people's experience. And there's been people who've had that after-death experience. And of course, you yourself have to recognize the rest of the story, either by feeling or by intellect, and then acknowledge this. Acknowledge what you understand. Acknowledge Jesus. Believe. You live accordingly. You act accordingly. And you are grateful to be saved from hell. And you get to spend eternity in heaven. That's great. It's a wonderful place. You would gladly give up life on earth to go to heaven. Just think of how it's talked about. And I guess that's leading me into a little story, a personal story, because as a younger man, I had a great fear of death. Sometimes it would just seem to take up my whole attention of everything. And then I got busy with life, and it didn't seem like such an important thing. But midway through life, I had an experience that was kind of like a death experience, where I really did feel like I had died. It was a seizure where I lost consciousness, and I just felt my life fading away from me. And the feeling was really, I referred to it for a couple of years as when I died, because that was such a strong feeling of death at that moment. It was where I was afterwards was a beautiful place, and I certainly did not want to come back to this earth. So today, I no longer fear death. It's just, it was such a wonderful place to be. But I'm here to be faithful to God through Jesus Christ. So I try to live faithfully every day for Jesus. So that's just kind of an interesting story. Death. What comes after the life that we have here? Well, there's plenty of stories, and they're all kind of similar for the Christian people. And there's a few people who have an after, well, whatever it is, after, we could say death, but they come back, and there's been a few people who've gone to hell, and they tell us about that one, too. And, oh, that's a place you don't want to go. There have been a few people who've had that experience, and they turn out to be that so-called hell and brimstone preachers. So there is something to be gathered by other people's experience. So as we go through these things and look at all the evidence we can see, we can realize that there is a very real spirit world. Yeah, we are here on earth, but there is also a spirit world. And in that spirit world, and in this world, we can see that there is good and there is evil. Or you could say there is God and there is Satan. They are not equal, but God gave Satan free will, and Satan chose to rebel from God. So we also have free will, we humans here on earth, and some of us rebel and some of us choose to follow, well, we could call it our own will, and that is not of God. So what do we choose to follow? Us or God? God's will. Well, if we follow God's will, we get to live with Him forever in heaven. So it's pretty interesting. Study the evidence and choose wisely. And of course, a part of what we're to do is tell people about our experiences and the hope that we have in God through Jesus Christ. Well, I certainly go from one place to another, don't I? These days, there are many people who are concerned with the bad things that are going on in our world. Some people even get scared. And on the other hand, I want to tell you, do not fear, because God has everything under control. In this world, there are bad things going on, and there's good things too, lots and lots of good things. But as I said, do not fear. God has everything under control. This is a message that we can see from all sorts of people and even other sources. Look at biblical sources. So, you know, there's things that are within our authority to do and things that are in a great big authority. And we have personal decisions to make as we go along. Oh, you know, like if your tires are bald, you should be concerned. You have to replace those tires. It's not that we get to go through life without any cares. It's the cares about the big things that are settled. God has an area of control, and you have an area of control. That's freedom, and God gave us freedom. So what else did God give us? He gave us a book to tell you about God's nature and to help you to know how to live. It tells you what the future holds also. With all this, He still lets you have freedom and to decide what you want to do. And then you get the consequences of your decisions. Because of His book, you know some of the serious difficulties that are coming. And because of your own sensibilities and your powers of observation, you can see the direction of certain recent events. And therefore, I would say, like I so often do, take steps of preparedness for that just-in-case situation. Yep, that's what I would say. Patterns in life repeat. Patterns in history repeat. And often enough, we get into a certain complacency when nothing seems to change. Look at the things around us. We have certainly become complacent. We've had this repeated pattern of things staying pretty good and not changing. We have plenty of food and plenty of income, and all these things we expect to continue. But if you take two steps back from our normally secure position, the position of security we have always known pretty much, and if we look at either historical examples or examples about what happens in other parts of the world, then we can see there really are possibilities and indicators that there could be some pretty big trouble coming. Of course, we don't know when. That's the big question. When? Do we have 7 days before some big trouble comes along? Do we have 7 years before some big troubles come along? We don't know. Does this trouble hit our state or our planet? Yeah, we have no way of knowing. And I can't help but think of Matthew chapter 24. I think of that, and I think of Mark and Luke have chapters in that of what'll happen at some point in the future. What will those events be? What will happen next? There are indicators, and these questions of what will happen in the future have been around since probably the beginning of time. We who look have seen that there are patterns that repeat, and often enough, these are pretty reliable patterns. And when we're looking at money, when we're looking at financial trends, we can see these patterns, and we can see that there are variations, but the patterns are pretty strong. And I do think it's pretty interesting that there are financial analysts who see that our economy will change at some time soon. A lot of people who look at these things, the financial analysts, are saying that within the next 12 months, we will have a pretty big surprise coming our way, that the economy simply will not continue along this secure path. So there's lots of people who want to play it safe, and they are changing their thoughts of what they need and what their investments are. Do you invest in stuff? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, there's the regular things, stocks and bonds and gold and silver and food and supplies. Who knows? But I do want to bring these things up because they're an example of an economic uncertainty. You know, it's not that I have firsthand knowledge. I kind of do because I've been through a bunch and I've seen a bunch and I've had other people who've been through a bunch. But to know is one thing. All I have is indicators. And we see indicators. We see things like the United States money supply increasing by 4 times in the last 10 years or less. That is the number of dollars that are available to spend. It's called printing of the dollar bills. So there's much more that have become available. And it can be electronic money. It's not just the bill itself. And we have an ever-growing national debt. $20 trillion. I know I've talked about that before, so I won't today. But all these things are going on, and they have a direction of uncertainty. There's a number of things that would cause uncertainty in our country. There's a personal and a philosophical divide within the citizens of this country. And it's made worse because so many people just don't know how to compromise. They only see it their way. So we just might be heading for a difficult time because of the attitude of people and the reality of the financial situation. So I say, look around. Look around and see who your Christian community is, or if it's not a Christian community, who is your community, and try to get some consensus ideas and see what you can do together, see what you can agree with together. Also, you know, compromise on all the things that you can, because it's important to have an attitude of allowing other people to live their life. especially in these days when there's so many issues that are dividing our nation. We're not even talking about getting into some of the things that are bothersome to people, sensitive issues like who gets benefits or who pays for benefits. For some people, their vaccines and water fluoridation are sensitive, or what's being taught in school, or abortion, or certain prejudices, jobs, you know, all these things, they can be divisive issues, but somehow we have to learn to get along. We have to get along with people, whether they're our own family, our own spouse, or whether they're people in the neighborhood, or people in our country. We do want to get along, because at some point we sure could be facing crises situations. I do talk about the just-in-case situation, and I think that's the kind of things that we can pay attention to. I know there's a lot of people who are looking at that September 22nd of this year situation, give or take a day. September 22nd, 2017. There's a great sign in the sky, in the heavens, and that is a reflection of Revelation 12:1. Where a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and her head with a garland of 12 stars. I've talked about that in the past a little bit, how this is the only time that it will happen in history that is understood, at least. 5,000 years back, 5,000 years forward, it doesn't happen again. So there is a sign in the heavens, and we are told to look for signs in the heavens or the moons and the stars, and we just need to look. We need to be careful to see of how we want to live in the future, because it is a sign, and that's for sure. Now, there's some people who see this sign as the rapture coming, and that it will be here. Some people say right on that day, and a few people are saying 9 months later after this day. Well, it's a controversy, and, you know, all we can do is look and look at both ways of something happening, because we are talking about things that are important, and we just can't just quickly decide one way or another, but we have to be prepared. Be prepared for lots of things happening, and those are just some things that we might consider as being a motivation to talk about the real important things, the hope that's in the gospel. So there are things that are happening in the heavens. That's one of them. Another one is that brown dwarf star coming this way, if you believe some people. It's called Nemesis. And around that brown dwarf star, there's several planets, and one of them is called Nibiru. It's also called Planet X. So there's a lot of things we just don't really know, and we can't see this coming star because it's a collapsed star. And instead of giving off light, it absorbs the light it receives, which is why it's very difficult to see. So we have a hard time even saying, is it there or is it not there? Well, it's a pretty interesting question. There's a very divided camp on this question. But I think it's interesting that as people speculate and talk about it, it's having that great big loop from outside of our solar system and coming back around our sun. It is supported by a physics theory that says that the sun has to have a twin, and that twin is said to be this brown dwarf called Nemesis. And it's said to be in an orbit around our sun. And there's people who have calculated it and said that it would pass Earth's orbit twice. And that would be 150 days apart. Isn't it interesting that that's as long as the the deluge of rain lasted upon Noah's Ark, 150 days. And there's speculation that this could be that kind of an earth-changing event. But I say, who knows? I still say it's interesting to find these things out and to contemplate them. It's just one of those unknown things. It is fun to just look at the what-ifs, anyway, for me. And I do like to see these contemplations because it's fun. I like to just think about what if there was an EMP, that electromagnetic pulse that would happen from a nuclear weapon. What if there was a CME, a coronal mass ejection, which comes from the sun? So either of these could cause a grid-down situation. It's possible. It's possible. We each have to judge how likely these things are and what we want to do about them. I like bringing them up because it shows that there really are things that we might want to prepare for. And I'm not in a position to know what's coming. I just see there are indicators, and those indicators are what I talked to you about, because the results of such a thing would be so severe. I will tell you again, I just see it's reasonable to prepare in some way. So either of those two things, an EMP or a CME, would cause our grid to go down, and depending on who you listen to, it could last anywhere from 6 months to 6 years. And that's a long time to go without electricity. Either way, I think there's plenty of people who would revert back to a primitive lifestyle, and that would be no fun. But, yeah, it could happen. And with the things that are talked about in the Bible about the things coming, there are possibilities that we really could revert to that kind of a lifestyle. So nobody told me that either would happen, but there are people who talk about it. So, you know, I think of it in terms of we can do a little bit of what if. It's just like when we go driving our car. Probably nothing will happen, but it might. So what do? We buckle up. We wear our seat belts for just in case something happens. We just give it a little bit of that, think about it, make a plan, and then do something. We don't know how likely it is to happen. It could be a huge destructive event, though, and so we can look back and we could say just a little bit of prevention would prevent some a lot of harm. So I say do a little something. So how could we think that God would let some great big consequences happen to our nation or our world? How could God do that, we might think? We could say, how could God judge our nation? Could God really judge our nation? Well, you'll have to consider this for yourself. Just think about the tens of millions of abortions that the United States has had. And then look at the rest of the world. The rest of the world has had even more. What are we up to, 70 million abortions? The world is a lot higher than that. Everything has an effect. Everything has consequences. There's lots of nations that have contributed to this. So, indeed, what is coming to our world? It's not like we know, but we can certainly entertain different views. And I like to look at that possibility of CERN. CERN, that large Hadron Collider, which is on the border of France and Switzerland. I think that could be a part of something that's coming this way, too. When you look at what happened with their opening ceremony and you look at what the director said, he wanted CERN to open a portal to another dimension. This is just too weird, I think. So if that's the kind of things happening, what does that mean? Would that mean that he's thinking to open a portal to another demonic world and maybe demons would come into this world? There's just questions, but there are people who want to see this happen. And it's a tough thing to even contemplate how that could be. And there's plenty of people who just see that it's just a scientific examination. Nothing will happen. Look, nothing happened when the atom bomb went off, and we were told that it could be the end of the world. Stephen Hawking said this opening of the portal that CERN is doing could be the end of the world, too, when they're doing their experiments with the antimatter. Hey, it's a big question, and we don't know. What are we to do? Sit back and do nothing? Well, let's just see what the consequences could be and weigh the matter. We all are in this world, and we all face the consequences from what's going on around us. And I know a current item here is about the book by Tom Horn and Steve Quayle. The book is called Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters. What a title, huh? Well, this book presents a study of giants, both in our world long ago and in our recent history. And it illustrates that there really have been giants on this earth. It looks at the bones that we've found, the skeletons, huge skeletons. It shows the skulls, the elongated skulls, and it talks about how the Native Americans have a history of discussing these things which involve giants, which involve the wars with the giants by the Native Americans, and what the giants have done to the Native Americans. Like, eat them, literally. So, this book also points out that Genesis 6:4 says, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward. Now, the thing to see here is, and also afterwards. It's a possibility that we have them in our world today. It's a pretty good possibility from what I can gather. I've heard it said that there are fallen angels, that as they did human things, they became more human-like in their physical form. And they had giants as offspring, and this is a part of why there are giants and what it reflects in our modern history. No, I realize that there is a great question about this. There's a lot of uncertainty, and there's been information that's been hidden from us on purpose. But we can look and see what evidence we can find and then make decisions that we can. This is a possibility. It's not just possible. It's there really are remains. And then if you want to look to the giant of Kandahar, that's what the event's been called, that was killed in 2002 in Afghanistan by United States military forces. It was 12 foot tall, weighed 1,100 pounds, and they did end up killing it, killed one of their soldiers, but it's just a question. And there have been soldiers who were involved in the battle, and they have spoken up, and they've been on record telling their story of what happened with that so-called giant of Kandahar. There's a question. There's lots of new things that we've never heard of before in science and in our life experience. This is one of them. Giants. For real? Come on. But it's really a possibility. Huh. Well, more than a possibility, but how much more, you'll all have to decide that for yourselves. It could be that giants and demons could gain a notable foothold in our world. And I say that because we have the CERN Large Hadron Collider, which is doing work in that area, and we have this classic work by Tom Horn and Steve Quayle about the discovery of giants in different parts of the world. So That's something to look at. That's something to figure out. I like to look at things a little in advance, so I'm not surprised, and I can see the possibilities and just how I might want to respond to news when I hear of it. So I think the next years are going to be interesting years. And it's not that I know what'll happen. I surely don't. But how can you not look at Matthew chapter 24? Yeah, I know, I keep going back to that. Luke and Mark that talk about those things too. But I think Matthew is kind of easier to read. And it sure looks like what we're going to see is earthquakes, famine and persecution, and more. So we might be spending a bunch of time indoors. Who knows? I think it's also important to notice that the rapture is a highly debated question. We see that we widely see that the church sees we will be taken out of that because there's a question of the wrath of God, but there's yet a question of consequences. Are we going to have to deal with consequences or the natural progression of things? Well, all I just say is it's a question. I think there's a real likelihood that we're going to be here for a lot longer time than most people are thinking. And Matthew 24 goes into that too, in the 29, 30, 31. So, in any case, we do want to look at those potential natural disasters to decide what you would like to do. There are some things that everyone can do. It does not have to be expensive. It does not have to be even a great deal. But we can have a few things for that just-in-case event. Why, aren't we told to get 4 days of things for just-in-case a emergency happens? 4 days of water, of food, of maybe a few other things. And I once said on this broadcast that the people in Hurricane Katrina had to wait 2 months before there was meaningful federal assistance by FEMA. What a situation. Well, a lot of people can suffer a lot, and we don't want to suffer, so we should look at what we can do to make preparations for our own selves and our own loved ones and our own people around us. People have often been warned of coming troubles. I think Matthew 24 tells us of frequent troubles. And I've mentioned what we can do on past shows. I hope that you have a look at them, because these are all things that I talk about to motivate you to do something. You know, when surprises happen, we tend to be ice. What do? We can't move. We are frozen. We just stay in place because we haven't had a chance to analyze what can happen or is happening. So we just freeze. That's a natural response, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to talk about so that you don't have one of those freeze-in-place situations. There's lots of things that just might happen, and I think it's also important to keep a positive attitude, that there's things that we can do, there's things that we can plan, there's things that we can improve in our life, or the life of our society around us. Somehow, what do we hope for in the future? Do we have some great plans? Do we have some great ideas? So keep in your mind an idea, a plan for the future. What model would you use to make life better, to make life improved? You know, we all should have great hopes, and to have great hopes happen, we need great plans. It's not just that we want to rely on other people, but we can use a basis of past things, and I think the basis that the American government was first founded upon in the 1700s, that is a good basis for our future, of our future with Christian hope, with liberty, and with justice for all with and through Jesus Christ, because that, after all, was the founding of our nation. So keep that in mind as you consider how we can do better, what the future could hold, because we want to make things better. We want to see how to do that. Give it some thought. Look at the Bible. It does tell you about, there's several things, there's several main things in it. One of the themes, one of the messages is, sure, we see judgment and destruction. Yeah, we see that. But we also see love and forgiveness. Don't forget that. Love and forgiveness. Look at the Bible altogether. That will help to give you an idea of what kind of a character you would like to piece together, what you would like to present as a Christian. And it probably gives you an insight as to who God is. God is a God of love. God has many complexities in his character. No doubt about that. So we can look, we can seek, we can try to understand and look at God as a complete person and look at us to what we want to become. These are all things that we can do. Give it a try. And as a part of looking at this, I certainly do suggest prayer and reading the Bible. It is all a part of becoming the person that we can be in and through Jesus Christ. And with all this said, I still say, look at what might happen. Remember what can happen. All sorts of things. So think, plan, and do. I know I often talk about Matthew chapter 24, so I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of it. I'm going to skip starting at verse 4 and then read a little bit at the end on verse 29. Oh, maybe a little in between. But my point is here, tell us what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. After all, these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. And then he talks about preach the gospel to the whole world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. How close are we to that? This is a matter of debate. And then, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now there's people who see this sign in heaven on September 22nd of this year, 2017, as that sign in the heavens. And it's just a question. Oh boy, I don't know, but when is Jesus returning? Well, we, sir, surely have questions about that one. That could make for lots of debate. And it is a question. But you have to realize that it could be right at hand. We don't know. There's been lots of people who've talked about things being right at hand. But I just go back to that question of preparedness. If things are really going to happen, let's get some preparations. I always say the standard stuff, which is food, water, especially water. Water most especially. But I think about a lot of people ask about first aid. So I'm going to just mention first aid here, that you want your basic kit, a first aid kit, and those are some real simple things. Triple antibiotic, that's good, and 1-inch medical tape, and bandages, the surgical type of bandage, and a lot of times a burn relief gel is really, really good. And then you want something for pain relief, like a pill. Ibuprofen is good. Some people will want that diarrheal, anti-diarrheal too. That's good. And so what are some other good ideas? I'm just going to look at this here, my list. Vinyl or nitrile gloves. Simple face masks. Good pointed tweezers and good flat tweezers. Oral thermometers. A blood pressure cup, some small and some medium-sized scissors, rubber tubing, a head-mounted focused LED flashlight, disposable scalpels, some small curved skin sewing needles. Needle nose pliers is good. EpiPens are good. An eyewash cup might be good, an esophageal tube, hand soap, razors, wristwatch with a second hand, a SAM splint, an oval eye covering, maybe a snake bite kit, and an ammonium inhalant. Space blankets are good too. Maybe a Tyvek gown for if you have to get messy, or a couple of. A mirror, petroleum coated gauze. Quick clot is really good. And paper and pencil for writing down what you have done or need to do. Remember, pencils write in the rain and pens do not. That's something you don't know if you're going to be inside or outside when you need this medical stuff. The space pen does write in the rain, and that's something you might want instead. So there is also all-weather paper that stays together in the rain and you can write on it. All these things are different things, and everyone has their own ideas for what you need or don't need. These are just ideas so that you can... All of what I do is just ideas. It's to give you thoughts, to give you considerations, and then you choose from among what I say and decide what is needed. Remember, you will always want to bind your wounds and protect them, and that's something which just always have to be done. You will find wounds can disable you, slow you down, and so you have to assume that your time will take, everything will take longer than you think for whatever jobs you have in mind, or if you're thinking of several people together forming a group. Things will take longer than you think, and certainly if this question of food is a question and your food supply is not adequate, think of the societies where food was not available and they had to be hunter-gatherers. Those people had most of their time been taken up just finding enough calories, and most of it is not something we'd want to eat, but bark, bugs, it's not fun to think of, but when you're really, really hungry, it's surprising what tastes good. Just go on a 3-day fast, you'll see. Oh boy. So think of these things and get your preparations. You will want to always keep things in prayer. You call on God to heal also, and you do that with other people who need help. This is a part of what is so basic, and one of the basic concepts is to give comfort and show hope, and prayer is a part of that. So as you go through any kind of an emergency, you will see there's just all sorts of things. Don't forget that. Give comfort and show hope. That is just so important. Consider the water. The water is just such a tremendous, tremendous need. It will slow you down. It'll get you sick if you don't have water. And then again, you can treat it. There are different ways to treat it. Of course, boiling is what lots of people think of. And there's other methods too. There's an ultraviolet treatment, and it's One of them is called a SteriPin. That's pretty easy to use. You will need batteries for that, but it's still good. Another thing is diarrhea is a tremendous problem when you're dealing with unusual foods or unknown foods. So you want to be concerned with having an anti-diarrheal, and if that is somebody's problem, you want to rehydrate them, and you will need a few things with that: salt, baking soda, and honey or sugar. Honey is good for lots of things. It's just not good for anyone that's an infant under 1 year of age. So there's all these things that to be considered for what you want and what you need to have on hand. There's really not any answers. It's just that you want to consider it all, pray about it, and consider these things. Another thing that often gets overlooked is a person's sleep. You need to have enough sleep to be making good decisions and interact with people properly. So sometimes for sleep, you need to be in a community and feel safe in where you are. So all these things, they're all for you to consider. What do you do? Don't forget you need to have decent toilet facilities, and that's a good thing to keep in mind. And how do you do that? Well, you do be prepared to dig a hole. Just that's the kind of a thing. There's all these things. All these things are can be overcome, whether it's medical or water and food, or don't forget spiritual needs. That's always something that's important. The God of the Bible is such a helpful and comfort and everything. So don't forget Bibles if you're looking at preparations and what you want to have on hand. You want to be able to explain the gospel and have more information, which is the Bible. Those basic things are all what you need. You need air, food, water, and warmth. Those are the things that you just want to focus on. How you solve each of those problems, there's a lot of different areas that you can decide, because we all have different ideas. We all have different ideas of what we want and what we need. And some people will think about preparing with garden seeds or with pepper spray or knowledge or something to trade, like silver or money. All these things are ideas, and every one of us has to decide how we actually handle what we need and what we do. So thank you for listening today. Remember that you can go on my website and listen to past broadcasts, and they also will give you different ideas. And that's what I want to give you, different ideas. You decide what applies and what doesn't. And in the meanwhile, give thanks to God for the blessings that you do have. And thank you for listening today. Inside your glory, glory.